Welcome to Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Another week, another grand final up for grabs. The GDFNL.
One down, two to go.
Yep, the Morris Finance Cup, or Morris Cup.
Don't give him too much.
Ooh, Nath. No, ran into him in the street the other day.
Did you? Well, he owns half the street across the road, so no wonder.
Doesn't he rent over there? I thought GMHBA owned it. Oh, right. Okay, you know something I don't.
Anyway.
How are you, Jace?
No, I'm good, Captain. How are you?
Yeah, this is Beyond the Boundary. Yes. Sorry, the award-winning Beyond the Boundary. GDFNL Grand Final. Congratulations to Anglesey on tipping over Geelong Amateur, and I'll take all the credit for picking them to miss the finals back in round 13.
Has he spoken to you yet?
We haven't spoken. He sent me a screenshot, though, of the article I wrote back after round 13.
Yeah, of course he did.
It even got a mention. Well, my name didn't get a mention. The term pundit got mentioned in the Addy.
Right. Pundit.
I'm a pundit.
In the Addy. There you go. It's always good when you're with the opposition. Well done.
So one under Anglesey. Congratulations to Amos on winning the reserves. Our man Jack Pickering.
Yes.
Playing in a flag.
Harry Ling.
BOG. Harry Ling to join us in the pre-game on Saturday. Coming to watch his St Mary's boys.
Will he have recovered sufficiently?
Yes, he's back at work yesterday.
Oh, well done. Good work, Harry.
So he answered the phone and I've gone, "G'day, Norm."
He would have loved that, wouldn't he?
He did.
I believe the St Mary's boys are giving him a little bit.
Yes.
Yes.
Hence the Norm.
Jared Garner.
And Bowen Heads beat Colac in the under-18 Division 2 decider.
Yes, they did.
But we've got three big grand finals at Concept Oval, St Albans Reserve, but the big one is the clash. The Battle of the Compasses, I've liked to call it. I've just made that up myself. It won't stick, but I'm going to continue to use it. Peter Riccardi, the coach of North Geelong, has been good enough to join us. Hello, Rico.
G'day, lads. How are you going?
Good, good. Good to have you. And Ned Olsbrook, the coach of East Geelong, joining us as well. Hello, Neddy.
Thanks for having us, man.
Or as he calls himself on Instagram, Neddy Mercury.
Does he? Ned, we need to have a discussion after this.
Well, that's going to get a run Saturday, isn't it?
Neddy Mercury. Well, I suppose there is a little bit.
With the moustache, too.
Can you sing like him?
Not quite. We don't have the vocal range.
We might find out Saturday night. He might be able to do something.
Gentlemen, firstly, congratulations. Rico, in first. We spoke after the second semi-final win about how you would approach the next fortnight. You're now 11 days into that fortnight. Has it gone as you'd hoped in terms of how the players have remained focused and been able to not get too caught up in the fact they're playing in a grand final?
They've been really level-headed, as I thought. Like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, that it really won't hit home until selection Thursday night, and then you're going to get the lack of sleep Thursday night into Friday night. So the boys have been really good. We trained really well. We had a light night last Tuesday, ramped it up Thursday. We did about 11K on Saturday. And then, just tidy a few things up last night into tomorrow night.
Yep. You've been here before, obviously, with Bannockburn back in 2019, so you know what to deal with. But a lot of your players, this is a new area for them. I think Rory Desnoy played in a reserves grand final with Leopold a couple of years ago, but you won't have many that have been. I think maybe the Fazios have played some grand finals or good finals up in the Central Highlands.
Well, it was Damien was the only one that put his hand up and said he's the only one that played in the grand final. So a senior grand final. A lot of them played in junior grand finals. Yep. But, 3 weeks ago when we played Belmont, there was only, I think, six out of the group that have played actual senior finals. Majority of them only played two senior finals up until now.
And they're unbeaten.
Can you imagine what it was like 2 years ago to now where you are now? Like, it's been an amazing scenario for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Even going back 3 years ago, the Vanders rang me about six times and I kept knocking him back. So then he got me at a weak moment. In saying that, I did watch him play a couple of games, and there was a lot to work with. The nucleus there.
Yep.
But after half time, they just dropped away. So obviously, the fitness was one of them. So we had a massive pre-season going into 2024. And then recruit some young kids. First thing I did when I said yes, I made sure I had three or four kids coming over. Mm-hmm. And then they knew some kids, and then they knew some kids, and all of a sudden...
That's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you've got, Charlie Mack, Rory Desnoy. Rory Desnoy brings Cooper Pask. Mm. And all of a sudden you have, 15, 19-year-olds. Yeah. And now they're 21-year-olds. So, so it's a good way to recruit. And, and then their mates see how we went last year. Mm. And then, Benny O'Brien's friends with Jack O'Toole. So, you know, then you...
Yeah, that's the ingredient, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The players are the ones, aren't they?
They actually come and watch... He come and watch the last game last year against Belmont and really liked what he saw and said, yep, I want to jump on board. So, which was fantastic.
Ned, you took over a team in a different sphere. You took over one that in 2022 had obviously finished minor premier, gone out in straight sets, as we know. 2023 won an elimination final and went out in the first semi-final. So you took a group over that was ready for success, but you've got to be able to turn that into where you are now. Is that been the challenge to ensure that you could continue to maintain the standard that had been there previously under, obviously, Bowes and then obviously Tommy Cordner?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our as Rico said, the nucleus was there, and ours was obviously starting at a different starting point. We were fairly strong. We just wanted to add a couple of pieces to the puzzle each year, and obviously last year it was myself. Jaden McLaughlin played last year. Jack Dixon was a big part of sort of bringing in some more senior heads in there. And then obviously at the start of this year, guys like Andrew Steele and Jeremy Ollis were huge for us. And then to have sort of Galen Minari and Jake McLean fall in your lap early in the late in the preseason, that just sort of steadies us up through that part of the ground as well. And when you sort of look at experience, it's a similar sort of story to Rico. There's not a lot of us that have played in grand finals before, more than you guys by the sounds of it. There was probably five or six of us that have done that, and most of those are the new guys that we've brought across. So hopefully that is something that we look to use in the week coming up.
You're a little bit like North Geelong in terms of recruiting, though. Jude Payne from East went to St Mary's and then came back. He's brought some across with him as well. And I suppose it's the depth thing for you as well in terms of just making sure you're always going to get injuries, but you've got enough players to be able to, you know, play in the 26 to 28 version of trying to get to finals.
Yeah, I was talking about it with Jack Beard, so if you ever want to know any stats or numbers, he's the man
to ask.
Yeah, we know.
K-Rock zone.
And he said we've played 37 or 36 players through the senior side this year, and 36 of them are available, which probably wasn't as well documented as some of the other sides. We had our depth really tested at stages this year, but our depth is like quite strong, and that probably shows with having both sides in the granny on Saturday. They're going to have a really strong side at 12 o'clock. I think it's 11:45 this week, but in the reserve side, they're going to have a really strong side with 12 guys that have played senior football this year. And that does really help in nursing some of those older guys through the season. And I feel like that was something we lacked last year. We sort of limped to the final series where we're feeling a lot healthier and stronger now.
Rico, your 12 o'clock boys got to a prelim final. Yep. How important was that in supporting your ones going through the finals? And I suppose through the year, knowing that you could look to your 12 o'clock team and go, I've got blokes here that are ready to play it too.
Yeah, absolutely. The unfortunate thing with our twos on the weekend, because we were straight in, there had to be six or seven blokes that had to come out, which, you know, then you're topping up from, you know, the ones that didn't play. I'm not saying though that they're not any better or any worse, but it does test your depth, as Ned was saying. And look, if them six or seven were playing, who knows, it could have been both North Geelong and East Geelong, you know, ones and twos, like, and it would have been massive.
Yeah, Central's have probably been the best team in it all year, though, haven't they? Probably they just stumbled in that second semi-final against your boys, Ned.
It is interesting that you say that, because if we have won in the second semi, there would have been six guys that miss out, and then we're probably having the same conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it is an interesting dynamic.
The ground in terms of St Albans, it is different to some of the grounds that you obviously play on during the year. Do you structure up differently? I've always said many years ago, you might know the name Ryan Kloster. He played at East Geelong. He was a centre forward, ran up the ground and back him up and back, and never really kicked any goals, but was just that conduit. Do you set up differently, you, Rico, first from a North Geelong perspective on a larger ground like St Albans?
No, you try to keep it as same as you can. Yep. I know it's a bigger ground, so we just have to cover more, obviously. Yeah. But North Geelong's a pretty big ground anyway.
Yeah.
It might be, I think, another 10 metres longer, I think, St Albans. Mm. Probably similar to your ground as well. So 10 metres, you know, give or take. Yeah. Like I think we're pretty adapt to, you know, grounds we play on. There's only one ground that you really struggle on, and that's Belmont's ground, really.
Yeah.
Which your mob do, Ned.
Yes, we...
You hate it.
We do battle there, as Andy keeps reminding me. But St. Albans, I think the one major difference is if you go too wide, you're so far away from goal yep. that all of a sudden you've got to hit four or five targets rather than two or three. So that's something we've really looked at over the last few weeks. I think North did a great job a couple of weeks ago at forcing us really wide and protecting that corridor. So that went a long way to making it hard for us to score when we were in control, and then they piled them on when they were in control. So I thought that was the major difference in the game and something that, we looked to correct last week.
Rico, what we want to really know, though, we've given you some half volleys, but it's time for something a little bit shorter, a bit of chin music. Will Rory Disney play?
Yeah, he will.
Yep.
He got cleared last week, so it's just now just a block of training. He's trained for the last 2 weeks. He fully trained yesterday, full contact, and he did the same on Thursday. Unless something happens tomorrow night at training, he'll definitely be there.
You're obviously not going to tell us here, but have you made a call on who will be the unlucky player, or are you still working through
that? No, I'm still working through it. It's going to be a tough call because you only got to select through a select few to choose, because Rory's a three-pointer.
Yeah.
It's got to be a three or above, because we're at max capacity with our points.
Have blokes reached out to you that are on that and gone, am I in the gun?
No. It's been pretty good. Yep. I think some guys probably know that it's one of few, obviously. So it's going to be a hard conversation, but at this stage, I'm not sure. We'll have a match committee tomorrow night and make sure he gets through training tomorrow night before we even tell anyone, because you don't want to say something to someone and then he does fall over. But, all signs is, especially last night, was really the test where we physically hurt him. Not tried to hurt him anyway.
2019 with Bannockburn, did you have to tell anybody that they weren't playing?
Because we brought Ticker in. So Ticker missed the second semi in the prelim through a calf injury. And I can't remember offhand who it was, but it'll come back to me if it does.
Poor bugger. I'm sure we can go to play each all sporting pulse.
I reckon there might have been two. I reckon Josh Cole came in as well.
Yep. So you've got experience.
Ned, do you feel like the monkey's off the back a little bit by winning last week? I know there was a lot of discussion, probably from me more so than anybody, about, Neville's the number one ticket holder, about, finals and obviously that. Do you feel a little bit different at training last night in terms of, a bit more freedom and a bit more we're here to go?
Yeah, I feel like the monkey off the back, there was a lot of outside noise around that. But potentially, I think grand final week, regardless, you sort of feel a little bit more freedom because the finish line is there, and you're sort of building to an end of the season, whereas in the lead up to last week you're not sure what next week looks like and things like that. You sort of got one eye on North Geelong, but you don't want to take your eyes off Bell Post Hill. So there was a little bit of that going on for me personally. I'm sure there's a number of players that have been there for 5 or 6 years that the monkey is off the back for them. Mm. But for someone that's only been there for a couple of years, it wasn't something that personally impacted me too much.
Just with that, they're playing some good footy. We got lucky, I thought. Just not lucky, but that we kind of
used the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We held them at the start. They were red hot.
Yeah.
So we got the message out to do something, and the boys did it. And and we kicked a goal on the back of that, which probably helped us. That was red hot early, and the bench was going nuts. Yeah. And I'm just saying, let's just wait. It's been only 10 minutes.
and the qualifying.
So there was panic in the box.
Yeah.
But we just got to make sure. Put a message out and see what they come up with, and I think we hit the next goal, and which steadied the ship a little bit, and the boys just took a breath and then played footy. But it was a very good game of footy.
Yeah, I think outside of the last 20 minutes when you guys dominated and put the score on the board, it was a real arm wrestle.
Yeah.
Because the qualifying final could have gone the other way for
absolutely.
You guys. And we could be talking about somebody else.
I felt like we were always in control of that game, but we just couldn't kick goals. I think we had 24 scoring shots to 16.
Yeah.
So it felt like we always had control of the game, but not on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And then they kick a goal and we think, how are they going to react? We're trying to throw someone behind the footy, and then they kick one straight away, and then, right, let's play footy.
Having your son in the team must be a nice little adjunct to the whole thing as well for Oscar to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was part of why I've got a few of his mates over just in case stuff like this happened. And like, because in the end, he did fall out of love of footy, and he wasn't going to play at all. He was going to give it up. And I said to him, mate, well, don't give it up. Like, just
come and have
talk
some
to Bell
fun
Park. And, talk to Geelong VFL, and come and have some fun with your mates.
Yeah.
And you can just see, like, he does relish it, and they have fun out there, like him, Cooper, Nara, and Noah. And then, you know, with having players all his own age too, like mates with Rory, mates with C-Mac, mates with Charlie Smith. So you've got that nucleus of 19 to 21-year-olds. They just love it. Yeah. And you can see it on the field when they just embrace each other.
Yeah. It'll be great. Obviously, we know his story and where he was 16 months ago. And, you know, we might be talking about an Oscar Riccardi that's not with us.
Absolutely.
And here he is, you know, I suppose... Those emotions probably are below the surface now. Come Saturday afternoon, they'll be...
Oh, absolutely. They'll be high. Like, it's things you look back on now as a father. You know, but firstly, you know, when he got concussed against Belmont, like, it's hard for a dad to not worry about it. So, but I've got to leave that to the side and actually coach a game of footy. So I do my best not to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But as soon as... you know, we got into the grand final. He's the first one, gave me a hug. You know, this is, you know, awesome, can't wait, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's going to be special if it happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got a side waiting just to do the same thing as us.
Now, obviously, you talked about having 37 blokes who have played senior footy this year and 36 are available. Who's the only bloke that you couldn't consider this week?
Jack told me, but I forget. He won't be in the mix, whoever it was,
Did Will Huff get up?
Will Huff played reserves last week.
Yeah.
And at this stage, we'll go in unchanged.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Does that make life easy for you that you've don't... That's one less thing on the side you've got to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking about that last night. I feel like our hard luck stories have sort of been drip-fed over the last month as guys have sort of come back. Jude Payne, obviously, has played a lot of footy this year, and young fella who's done a great job, just had to make way for Johnny McIntyre and Jack Dixon, and that's just football. And Lockie Zimmer also, with the point squeeze, he's far too good to be running around at 11:45 on the weekends. But yeah, another hard luck story. Will Huff, superstar, he's one of my favourite players, he's the coach's pet, just couldn't quite get that hamstring right at the right time. And Jake Nolan as well, who's been doing a job everywhere on the board for us whenever we need it, had an injury at the wrong time and couldn't quite get back.
Yep. Sam Lowe, can you just give us an update?
He's completely fine. Yeah.
Is there any fracture in there?
No, nah, he doesn't look great, but that's not out of the ordinary for Sam Lowe. So, he'll be fine. He exceptional game on the weekend, and he's got a bruise to show for it, but no, he'll be absolutely fine.
So it was Liam Merrich. It was incidental. It was in a marking contest.
Yeah. I think just a stray spoil got him in the right spot.
I believe the match review panel looked at it and gone, no, that's...
Yeah, they threw it out pretty quick.
That's a footy act.
That's the drive-by the coach in grand final week. Yeah. I like it. It's nice.
He'll love it.
Now, talk me through the Gala Minari story about how he just rocked up on the doorstep. How did that work for you?
Well, Lockie Zimmer came across last year,
yep,
and they're good mates from Sandhurst.
Yep.
And then Galen was, I think he lived next door to Nathan McLaren, who's our secretary, so he was always sort of in the works there. And,
yeah, right.
Which is like three doors down from Richmond Crescent.
Yep.
And then him and Jake McLean were discussing whether or not we'd have enough points to fit them all in and things like that.
Yeah, right.
Two weeks out of round one, I think, that they sort of committed.
Does he go to Tom Schwenison and do a job?
Galen, we're working through that at the moment.
Come on, that's very well played.
If you tell me where Des Noyes is playing, I'll go.
Very right, straight.
I'll start him on the bench.
is Galen still working for the bank? Because he came down here to run the Bendigo community bank.
He does something with money, I'm not sure. White collar stuff.
Wow. Is she the teacher?
A maths teacher too, now, he tells us. Maths teacher.
Yeah, no, he is.
Yeah, maths teacher.
Andy Wall's got, obviously, grand final last year. Good colleague of yours and former Barwon Heads teammate. Has he proffered any advice about how to handle grand final week, or has he gone quiet?
Fairly quiet on that front. He did have some advice for me heading into the prelim against Bell Post Hill, but it was to stop Dylan Whitney, so that was not really groundbreaking stuff.
He didn't come with something special. He just went with the obvious.
Probably the two Dylans. It's Whitney. Dylan Godwin, I got to watch him in the Eliminator.
Superstar.
He's a gun.
Genuine superstar. Yeah. Rate him very, very highly.
GFL clubs, not that you want to, you know, lose him out of the comp, but he would not be out of place in a GFNL team.
It's GD today. Just in terms of the club, so Rico, the club itself, yeah, netball's strong, footy's strong, you know, women's footy, the juniors are coming back as well from North Geelong. So it must be great to be involved in a club that's got such a, you know, such a, and volunteer, have always had great volunteers at the club.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then next year, celebrate 150th anniversary. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. I think we had every netball side bar the A's, but the A grade's pretty much the under 19 side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're starting from a base and then teaching them, and they'll be, you know, in a couple of years' time, a bit like what we thought our side was going to be. I thought we're a little bit ahead of schedule. I thought it was going to be a 3 or 4 year project. But to do it in 2 years is it's fantastic, obviously. But yeah, the strength of the club. And then, we got under 14s this year. So we're just trying to build on that. I think they're pretty much bottom age under 14. So we'll have another year under 14s and then go up to under 16s and stuff like that. Yeah. So hopefully we only get stronger because you need under 18s. You need junior players because one-pointers are massive. Yeah. And if you can't have one-pointers coming into your club and just say we're on 40 points, it makes it hard work.
Yeah, that's right. And ditto you, Ned, with the club. I mean, all the netball in finals, the reserves in finals, you're going to have a red hot under 18 team from what Mocker tells me next year, and so the same sort of thing.
very similar to Rico's answer there. We got 7 teams playing off in a grand final this week. Five netball sides and both the footy sides.
Back to Richmond Crescent on Saturday night. Yeah. Win or lose. Although West Oval not far to Keith Buck. Either.
No, I've seen but I've seen the remnants of what a celebration or a commiseration is like at East Geelong, and it's quite, and don't worry, they're pretty good at it too, at the black and white out there too. Don't worry about that.
There was a big bloke that used to do them quite well.
Yeah, there was a lot of blokes out there who did it quite well. Don't worry about that, and he's the same at East. Yeah. There's a few at East Geelong that go okay too.
Important question, what's on Nana Elzinger's menu tomorrow night?
We had snitties and lasagna.
Oh, just the standard staple at North. We love
it. We had a steak night last Thursday night. It
really?
Was awesome. Yeah.
I believe it was Nana's call this week too, reading the post, that it was
to do what she wanted.
Yeah,
absolutely. Same with Mrs. O'Leary.
Or what was left over.
Right.
What do we need to get rid of before cricket takes over? Well, there's a lot of schnitzels left. There's a bit of lasagna.
Yes.
Rico, you've obviously had a wonderful life in footy. What keeps motivating you to still want to be involved, you know, after, you know, 280-odd game AFL career? You've coached at North Shore. You've obviously played back at West after you retired. You coached Bannockburn to a flag. You could quite comfortably put your feet up and just enjoy watching, but you still want to be involved. Why is that?
Get away from the missus.
are not the first person to use that answer on this podcast this year.
And
I was going to say the family, but I've got one with me every Tuesday and Thursday. I've got to get the other one next year, hopefully. I love the game. I love the game. And over the last couple of years, with all these young kids that come in, it just keeps you on your toes. When I was at Banno, we had a more mature group.
Yep.
So it was coaching for 1 year, they knew exactly how we wanted to play. So when I finished up at Banno, they were set. They were set. And I even said to Ronnie, geez, that looks like my game style. In 20, was it 21 or 22?
22.
So the foundation was there for Banno. But then obviously they went away, and Ronnie's doing the same thing with the kids at Banno. It just keeps you motivated. I love the game. I love teaching these kids.
Yeah.
And enjoy, the success that I see on their face and the joy that I see on their face. Especially, you're talking about Swenison's. Over the last 5 years, it's been pretty tough out at North Geelong. So you look at that now and you think, just the joy that they have on their faces after every game, because we're the really close, we're winning, or we're just getting knocked off.
Yep.
So it hasn't been, apart from, I reckon, Bell Post Hill this year, we've been in games the whole time, and probably you guys last year. In the end, we probably should have lost by more. They had like 30-something scoring shots to 15, but it was only a five-goal margin in the end. So we haven't been really flogged, and they always seem to learn from it. So we go up. There's a review every Tuesday night, and sometimes it's a bit harsh. Sometimes it's not so harsh. But when they need to learn, and we show them on the ground, like we were no way near perfect against these guys a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And we showed them, and like we were very lucky on occasions that our back line held up.
Yep.
Otherwise, we could have got opened up a few times.
Yep.
So, and just you know, just kind of that stuff, and you know, just enjoy the game.
Yep. Big Bar on Heads contingent, do you expect at St Albans on Saturday?
Hoping to see a few of the old mob down there. No excuse. We've got nothing else to do this weekend. So, yeah, I've heard a few are coming down. I bumped into Zach Walter at the GFL on Sunday, and he's pretty keen to come and have a look. But, yeah, I'm hoping – I think it'll be a really big crowd. We put a call out to the members, East Geelong members, last night to get as many down there as possible, past players, junior families, just to see them around, hopefully drown out some black and white and hopefully put on a show.
Your body's copped a bit over the journey and you've come into this year with a shoulder issue.
That's putting it nicely.
Yeah. How much footy have you got left?
That's a good question.
Is this it on Saturday for you playing-wise?
I haven't decided yet what I'll do playing-wise next year. The last month of footy, I've actually not played too badly, which is making it a little bit trickier to decide. If you had asked me 2 months ago, it was probably, yeah, this will be my last year. We'll have to wait and see what the list profile looks like for next year. Pete said before, 1 point is a gold. Yeah. I'm a 1-pointer next year at East. So depending on how the recruiting goes and what our point situation looks like, I might leave that for a couple of months. I do love playing. I've never been X's and O's. I've obviously learnt that across the journey, but the competition side of it and the testing your body, I love. I love pre-season. I love the contested stuff. I think that'll be something that I miss and might be a real challenge for me if I just coach, and a bit of a learning arc for me there. But whether or not that happens next year or beyond, I'm not sure.
So in terms of, I don't want you to give anything away, but in terms of North, a player that you have to really keep an eye on Saturday, in terms of if you win or lose, because it's going to be a close game, I would suspect. One player that if you can keep quiet or keep, you know, in inversion, you'd be okay in terms of who that might be?
It's a really good question because they're such an even side.
I know, but I want you to pick one.
Yeah. I'm going to list a few. obviously, Tom Schwenison's a star.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't really go past him, but yeah, you have to look at guys like Mitch Abib. His final series has been exceptional. Exceptional. He won him the game against Belmont, and then against us, I think he had 30-plus touches and was doing what he liked. So he's another one we've got to have a look at. I thought Jasper George was really impressive across half-back against us as well. So there's certainly a few guys we've got to put some time into. They've got some really good half-forwards, lively half-forwards. Cooper Vaughan's a star. Rate him really highly. Jackson Jewell, the midfield group is awesome. So, yeah, certainly a bat really deep. But if I had to pick one, which is what you asked,
yes,
I would say Tom Schwenison.
Right, fair enough.
You must have been rapt to hear that Rory's right.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
You want to beat the best. It's okay. Rico, you for East in terms of one player that you might have to really keep an eye on?
Again,
yeah,
I'll list a couple.
Sure.
So I'll go the forward line. You got Jack Steele, Zach Smith, kick six last week. And that's only two. Out of the midfield, Beardsall, Lowe, both on the wing.
Yeah.
Cronbury through the middle, as I see, started in the middle this week. And down back, Fanning, Dixon, Monaghan. There's too many to actually go, right, if I put time into him, what's going to happen to him?
Yeah.
But if you're going to go, I'll go one, I'll go Beardsall.
Yeah, right.
Jack will love to hear that.
Ned, who are you putting your... So obviously Rico's doing it from the sideline, you're out in the ground. Who are you putting your faith in to do the right thing on the bench if they have to pull a lever?
I've got a really good relationship and strong trust in my group on the bench. Obviously, Jeremy Ollis is playing as well, and he's our midfield coach. But our forward line coach, Michael Condon, who coached the twos to a flag last year, and Wayne Barrett, who's sort of been my right-hand man for the last couple of years and has a really sound football knowledge. And when I need him to give some feedback to the boys between the eyes, he's good at that. When we need that soft, caring side, he's good at that too. But I can also trust that in game, he's going to make a call or a move that that typically I'll agree with. And also the other thing with Wayne and Mick is if I'm seeing something differently on the ground from a perspective of a head over the footy midfielder and I'm not seeing things that potentially are happening outside that, they're pretty good at giving me that feedback too, another lens, which has been great and something that just allows me to sort of play my game. Once the siren goes, I come off with 3 or 4 minutes to go, we get our talking points ready to go, chat about what we're seeing at different phases of the game and then go from there. But certainly those two have been a really, really good asset for me.
Not something you've probably given a lot of thought to, but if you're 5 goals up with 2 minutes to go, do you stay on the ground or do you come off to be with the coaching staff?
Have not given it a thought.
Stays on the ground.
Have not given it a thought. Depends who's sitting on the bench, I'll say that.
Do you bring Oscar off, Rico, if you're in a similar situation? Are you close to him or do you leave him out there?
If it's his rotation, he comes off.
Harsh. Very harsh. But fair. You put him back on.
Fair. Gentlemen, we wish you the very best of luck.
Yes, we do.
First grand final between North and East since the 88 Division 2 decider.
Really?
Yes.
Were they eastern suburbs then?
They were. That was when they were suburbs for that. Were. I think that 20-year period through the 80s and 90s. So that North won that one, went through champions.
They did
that
too.
Year. Chicken War kicked
plenty. Ask him.
Lots of goals that year. I've been talking to it was a young Mick O'Leary. He wasn't hadn't quite debuted yet. I think he was only a 14-year-old at the time, but. Yeah. He wasn't far away, though.
No, he wasn't.
And, of course, looking for your first flag, Ned, since 2009 for you, Rico. The boys from 2013. So you go out there with no Parks is the only player from that 2013 team.
Yeah. Still. And JB was playing, but he's assistant coach.
He's coach now. So, so one of the 44s played in the GD flag before. So we've got some blokes are going to be very, very happy come about 5 o'clock on Saturday night. We really appreciate you both coming in and making yourself available as Jordan Kerris and Riley Kershaw did last week. We wish you the best of luck. Appreciate your support of K-Rock throughout the year and wish you both the very best for Saturday afternoon. Go well.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
So thank you to both Peter Riccardi and Ned Ulsbrook. We do appreciate them coming in and it just adds to the build-up.
Yeah, and I think we always say, we've had some great guests on and the coaches are amazing in all three leagues.
Yeah.
I think there's only been one or two people when we've been in the podcast where we've gone, not quite sure that worked okay for us, but everybody is usually really good. And yeah, it was great to have them in studio.
Absolutely. And to Alex Degani, who runs the GDFNL Media.
He's had a big week.
He has came in. You'll see some of the footage from this podcast on the GDFNL social media channels.
Yep.
He brought the cup in for us to be able to take photos and stuff like that. So we appreciate that.
Doing a great job.
Plenty of news about.
Yes. Is
Surf Coast Suns have made some signings.
They have.
Including former Ocean Grove player Luke Cartelli. Now, some people were questioning how old Luke was. I've drilled down, spoken to him. 36.
Yes.
So he'll be 37 when the season starts. So
experienced.
Experienced. Well, best and fairest winner.
Yeah.
VFL player.
Yeah. Sounds
team
like
of the year.
Fit and raring to go.
Yeah, he's training with Trent Rogers, who runs... was it BT Fitness or something? PFT?
BFT. BFT, one of them. Yeah, and Torquay.
Yes, good luck to him. Bell Park's best and fairest, we did announce on our broadcast on Sunday, but it was Jeff Birmingham.
Yes.
So well done to him. I think from Fraser Maris.
Yes, that's right, correct.
Was runner-up. And
most free kicks in the league.
Yes, correct.
Fraser.
And Ben Lloyd was third.
Yes, that's a good trio.
There's... A little bit going... Oh, Matheson Medals next week. Have you got a selection? I don't know when we're doing next week's show. We're Matheson Medals Tuesday night.
Yes.
I think that our recording might be Wednesday next week based on the availability of coaches. Have you got a pick?
I would think Zach Zybell will go very well from Colac.
Yep, I'm happy
I think Jet will go okay too, Birmingham. I think he'll go okay from Bell Park, but I think Zach will win it.
So Jet won 2 Maskells.
Yeah, so, and he's right next to the umpire all the time.
Yeah. only one player in history has done the Maskell-Matheson double.
Really?
Alan Woodman.
Oh, the great.
Won 2 Maskells.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
And won a Matheson.
Yeah, okay.
So Jet would be in...
Rare company.
Very rare company. A lot of news from outside the region. So these are players that are doing well elsewhere that have got a local link.
You must have known I was doing some other work this week. I bet you'd go on. Off you go.
Cade Chalkraft, the Goulburn Valley League MVP,
mm-hmm.
Harry Benson, the QAFL Coaches MVP.
He was.
Hayden Spiller from Bannockburn.
Cairns Tigers in the, yes, in the Cairns Team of the Year.
Yep. Ed Damon's playing in the grand final for Wang Rovers this week.
Mm-hmm.
So he never came back to Ocean Grove. No. Jai Thompson won another flag at Harrow Balmoral.
Because he just does that for fun.
Did so
you know that he missed the medal, though?
Because of he pushed a player into the umpire.
And did you see it?
And it, yes. And got a reprimand.
It was very basic.
But all anyway. I've got to say is to Jai, who I love and I respect, Jai, don't give them a reason to make a decision.
Correct. That's right.
Harris Jennings is going back to Portland. He is. The exodus is continuing. That's 12 of last year's Premiership 22 gone at Leopold.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Now, interesting will be, Connor Giddings, we know, wins the GFNL goal kicking.
He does.
Connor Giddings has to come up on stage to receive his trophy and get interviewed. Do you think one of the questions the MC will ask is, what are you doing next year?
I absolutely guarantee it will be.
What is Trent Thompson doing next year?
I don't know. You've told me he's playing at Port.
No.
No, he's not. Playing at Newcombe.
I believe Queenscliff.
Queenscliff. Yes. That's right. You did say he was being, Queenscliff. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Just see. And I haven't rung Jammo, so Jammo's probably listening to this going, you could have at least rung me.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities at Leopold then for some recruits next year.
Yep. And for some youngsters.
Absolutely.
To get an opportunity.
Yep.
We did mention the West London Wildcats, and we'll give them another mention again. Obviously, if you're looking to play footy over there, reach out to them if you've, you're heading to the mother country. What else have we got? Oh, now we spoke to the president of Kalani that we spoke to earlier this year that played against Bannockburn?
Yes.
That documentary is now available on KO. Saving Kalani.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So footage of the game.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay.
With commentary and the scoreboard and all
watch that.
Yeah, right. So I haven't watched all of it, but okay. They had dinner on the Thursday night at the railway in Bannockburn.
Yeah, right.
And they filmed all the the speeches and stuff like that.
There you go.
So Scotty Penning gets a run. There's a bit of R. Pilgrim inserting himself.
Oh, of course he would be. The great man.
Into the footage. Congratulations to Reece Holwell, who guided Noranda. So he's now a premiership player and premiership coach at Noranda.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the flag down there, I'm going to say 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's gone back to coach them.
Yeah, that's a good effort.
Will he bob up locally next year?
Possibly.
Mm.
It's a long drive down there, isn't it?
It is. Couple of guess who don't sues.
Oh, yes.
Which prolific forward of 2024 in the GDFNL played elsewhere this year but might be back at his club that he played at in 2024 next year?
Right. Okay.
And which coach was left shaking his head by the advice coming from a high-profile opposition spectator at a weekend game?
Oh, look at you. Oh, well, I look forward to you telling me that off air. That'll be nice.
What have you got?
Well, you know that Mitch Patton and Harry Benson played against each other on Saturday in the prelim in the quaffle.
Palm Beach Crumbin versus
Surface Paradise.
Yep.
Mitchie kicked 5.
Did he?
They won the game.
And they beat. So Leopold's hold over St Mary
continues. Yes. So
Hang on, 2022.
No, that's right. No, they were in the grand final though. Mitch, right. He's been playing very nicely from what I hear at Surface Paradise.
So unfortunately, Surf Junction is closing.
Really?
The mum runs.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
It's finished.
Down at Drysdale. Oh, yeah, right. They're closing the doors down there.
Okay, right.
Which is very sad. Get some good surf gear before summer. Good effort by Harry Benson to win that Quaffle MVP award.
Absolutely. Coach's award, absolutely.
Because he's playing in a team with Levi Casbolt,
who won
the Grogan medal.
Yeah. Not a bad team.
No.
Grogan medal.
The Grogan medal. The J.A. Grogan medal, which Grogan. Is the Quaffle best and fairest.
Yes.
Anything else?
No, that was all. You stole my other ones, so that was good. Nice. Well,
you did some research.
I did do some research this week. I did.
Who wins on Saturday? Are you hard or head?
No, I think the monkey's off the back. Really do. I think East Geelong needed to win last week. And Rico is absolutely right. I mean, a kick either way, and it could go either way on Saturday as it could have in the second semi. But I just think the Eagles just might have a little bit too much forward line polish for them. If they can get it to Smith and Steele and a couple of others, I think they might have enough.
The inclusion of Desnoy is huge.
Yes, it is.
And can't be understated.
Absolutely.
I just love the romance of Zach Schwennison joining his old man as a premiership captain of the club, and then Zach and Tom joining Kane and Brent as senior premiership players. So four of the five brothers, Luke's played in some twos flags, I believe.
Yep, yep.
But to have four of the five brothers being senior premiership players.
I like the romance of the Riccardi scenario too. That is great,
especially from where Oscar's
come from. That's going to be a great story if they can get over the line, yes.
So Powerbrokers.
Powerbrokers.
Through 20. Can you just do 20 through 11 again,
sure,
please?
Sure, 20. Peter Riccardi. Powerbroker.
Does he know he's a powerbroker?
I don't know. I didn't say to Rico as he lived, but Rico, you're listening to this anyway, so you're number 20. Ron Watt, 19. Steve Cogger, 18. Jared Griffin, 17. Dan Payne, East Geelong president, 27 finals teams this year. He's number 16. Matt Kershaw, number 15, the great Kersh. Hasn't he been volatile this week on text message yes. to us internally? Cam Healy, Torquay president, 14. Marion Sponner, 13, the North Shore president. Sally Flynn, the KC, number 12. And Gibbo, Matt Gibson, the Colac president, number 11.
Okay.
All right.
Number 10.
Number 10. Mick Fitzgerald.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes. Ballerine president, Motawari guru, and trying to lead the Ballerine to Premier League status. Brokering deal for the Ballerine League.
Yes.
We'll see where we go with that. Number 9, Stevie J.
Fair.
Former Premiership cat, highest paid GFNL coach.
How do you know that?
In the midst of turning around the fortunes, and they obviously got done on the weekend, but they've had a terrific season. Yep. If you had said they're going to make those gains, you would have gone yes. Number 8, Ali Waite.
Or the president of Queenscliff.
Yes, who uses social media for good, not evil.
They are
very good. Yeah. Has galvanised the small towns, making significant gains off the field, as you well know. They had Diana Dockage down here this year, and they're doing a lot in the mental health space, so very nice.
Marcus Seacamp doing a lot of work there.
Absolutely. Number 7, Sean Blood.
Right.
So the Blood Toyota Cup has been forever.
Yep.
Power broker behind the scenes, Sean.
Yep.
When St Mary's weren't very good, he was front and centre.
Yep.
And, you know, just a little bit of genetics with Jack too, so that goes okay.
Okay.
Number 6.
Yes.
He'll hate this. Yeah. Mark Neild. I will be getting phone calls and text messages. Has a black book like no other.
Yep.
Connections and contacts, many and varied, and has made South Bowen relevant again, because they weren't before.
No.
He became the coach, so he's number 6.
All right, so number 10.
So number 10, Mick Fitzgerald, Stevie J, number 9, Ali Waite, number 8, Sean Blood, number 7, and Neildy, number 6.
Right. Thank you for that. That is Jace's Power Brokers, 5-1 in our GFNL Grand Final edition next week. Time for us to get out of here, but Carroll Football Live from 1 o'clock, FM 88.5 at West Oval for St Mary's and Colac. Early tip?
I think the Bogan Catholics.
Yeah, I want to see the ins and outs.
I
still think Colac.
Okay.
Because remember, they were only 9 points down.
Yeah, yeah.
Halfway through the last quarter.
Look, let's hope for no wind would be a great start, and let's hope for a very good game.
I think we're going to get some rain.
Oh, good.
Yeah. See you Saturday.
Okay, then.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.